Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Y'all had a wonderful Christmas and enjoyed your family. And I know some of you probably received a few gifts, and some of you probably got a bag of rocks. Let me get organized. Just give me just a second. You've got nowhere to go, do you? Just hang on, and I will. You think, well, he should have this together before he gets up here. He knows what he's going to preach on. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. God bless you. Before I start, I just want to remind everybody that on the 19th of January, we're going to have a baptism. That night, we have baptisms in the evening. So I know I've talked to many of you about being baptized, and if God's been dealing with you about this, I want you to come to me and talk with me about that. I would like to include you guys in that service also if you have an interest in that. Anyway, I just want to say it's not Happy New Year yet, so we won't be talking about that. I may have a New Year's message next Sunday. I may not. I don't know what God deals with me. I see a lot of visitors here today. We're just grateful that you're here. Thank you for being here. God bless you for deciding to come and worship with us today. We've had a great week. There's been a lot of things happen this week. There's been tragedy that's been in our church family this week, and there's been a lot of good things that have happened in our church family this week also. You know, I got the opportunity to go and have supper with some friends this past week, and I had a great time, and wonderful host, wonderful cooks, just a beautiful time with that family. You know, and this particular lady, I won't call her name, but she's actually one of the teachers at school that teaches you how to cook and how to do all those sorts of things. You know what? It used to be home ec when I was in school. And we just had a great time. And you guys know how much I like coffee, right? No, you don't. Well, I like coffee. I like coffee quite a bit, probably more than most people. And this person that was so gifted in so many different areas, I obviously had problems cutting the coffee maker on. Didn't they, Faith? That name didn't come out that way. I pray you had a great Christmas. And, you know, I love to hear stories about people's gifts. They're strange gifts that they got, the different kind of gifts they received, you know. And all of you know how much my wife loves lamps, right? I know I talk about that a bit. I know we probably got about 100 around the house. Thank you, Jesus, that she got another one for Christmas also, because we needed some. How many of you ever got a gift? You ever got a gift of a picture of a gift? You ever done that? Anybody ever done that to you? Here's what I was going to give you, Steve. This is what I'm planning to get for you later on. So here's a picture of it. You can take that home and you can look at it. And a lot of times those picture gifts I get don't normally ever come about. And so what I think I need to do is take those pictures and bring them back. Did you forget? Did you forget? We got Kim's dad a pocket talker. Is that what it's called, Kim? Or pocket listener? Pocket talker. You know what it is? Pocket talker. Put a thing in your pocket and you put the earbuds on, you know, for people that can't hear very well. People that don't think they need hearing aids. You know, I don't need a hearing aid because I hear fine. So we got, because that's what he is, we got him a pocket talker and put it in there, and you know, and he said he didn't need that sort of stuff, and we had to tell him three times what it was. So it's interesting that he said he didn't need that, but and Kim and I got a great gift this year. The greatest gift I think that we could have ever received, and I haven't told anybody about it. We were sitting at a table last night, and Matt and Kai brought us another present and set it there, and we went looking through it, and in the bottom of the bag, there's one of those things that you that have a tester on it. And it had a plus sign on it. So we're having a baby. Having a baby. And I sent a picture of the text to Kenzie, and the first thing she wanted to know was, Mom pregnant, you know. No. It's not pregnant. I want us this morning, I guess, to kind of think about how we listen. Give me a second here. My little machine's wanting to act up. We hear a lot of things, and how do we respond to the things that we listen to all the time? And certainly we're going to hear from the Lord, I pray, this morning. And if you're new with us here, you'll kind of know where we are. We work through a book in the Bible. We're in the book of Luke right now. We're at chapter 9. I've been in Luke for the past 8 years. No, it's taken us a while to get through this, but we like to work through the Scriptures and to understand what it is that God desires to teach us. I'm going to ask you if you'll stand with me right now. We're going to read Luke chapter 9. We'll read verses 28 through 36. Luke 9, 28 through 36. And we got a lot of Scripture to deal with today, but this is the meat of what we'll be talking about. About 8 days after Jesus said this, He took Peter, John, and James with Him and went onto the mountain to pray. And as He was praying, the appearance of His face changed, and His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus, and they spoke about His departure, which He was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men standing with Him. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to Him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for You and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. And while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is My Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to Him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. I ask You, O Father, as we come to You this morning, that we hear from Your Son. Not some person standing behind a box and spouting all things, but we come here this morning to hear from You. I ask this, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Matthew's gospel, now just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be looking at really three gospels today, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For the most part, this is where, and whenever I teach these stories from one of the Gospels, I encourage you to look at the parallel Scriptures in the other Gospels, because there'll be something there that may also help you as you study this during the week. But in Matthew's account, we see a little bit different in this event. Matthew said that His face shone like the sun and His clothes were white as light. It's interesting there, and I could say a lot about that, but he also shared after the Father spoke that they were afraid and fell on their faces, but Jesus came to them and told them not to be afraid. He's always doing that, isn't He? He's always telling us not to be afraid, not to be afraid. And I said this a few weeks ago, and I believe that Jesus did this so that His disciples would be confident that what the Holy Spirit had revealed to them was about Jesus, these things that are to come, these things about who Jesus is. And the thing that I find interesting is that Jesus didn't have to die to come into His glory. That's kind of interesting to me. He didn't have to die to come into His glory. And you and I have to pass from this life. We have to leave this life in order for us to come into the glory, in order for us to have a glorified body and a heavenly body. But not our Lord. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory. His glory. Now, John didn't write about this event in particular, but we know obviously that these referring to what took place on this Mount of Transfiguration, we call it, that He came into His glory, that they witnessed Him in all of His glory. Now, another interesting part of this passage is concerning those who were with Jesus. Who were they? You can talk to me. Moses and Elijah. You're not talking to me right. Moses and Elijah were there on that mount at the same time. Interesting that these two fellows were there. When I see this, and I can't help but wonder, maybe it's my imagination, but I'm wondering, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? How did they wear name tags? I mean, it makes me think, did Jesus introduce, you know, hey, James, John, Peter, come here. I want you to meet a couple of friends of mine. This is Moses and this is Elijah. Is that what it was? Now, what I believe as I read this, we're looking into a glimpse of what heaven is like. As we see what Jesus is and we see the glory that he is, we're looking, getting a glimpse into what heaven really is. And that's why I believe that he brought Peter, James, and John there in the first place. Tells me a little bit about what I think heaven will be like. And I don't know this, but I believe that maybe we may just know people. We may just know folk that are there. And no doubt that we will be understand things that we don't know there, because the scripture's clear about that. We'll know things that we don't understand now. So it's interesting to me that they knew these people. I probably make too big a deal of that at any rate. It's how my mind works. But I think it's just a glimpse into what it is that there will be. And why was it that Moses and Elijah were the ones that came to talk with Jesus? Now, they came and had a conversation. They were talking with him. Now we can think of so many other people that could have came and talked with Jesus at that time. But we see something unique in these two men. First, there was the uniqueness about Moses' death and burial. Now, put your thinking caps on today, because I'm going to share some stuff with you and I'm probably not going to give you the answers you want to hear. But at any rate, there's something unique here. And Moses was healthy when he died. He was healthy when he died. If you were to look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 8, and it says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there at Moab, as the Lord had said, he buried him." Now, who buried Moses? Yeah, God buried Moses. So God himself buried Moses. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. No one knows where it's at. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak and his strength and nor strength gone. So what was wrong with him? Nothing. There were nothing wrong with him, okay? The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days, and until the time of weeping was over, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now, we know that there was some dispute over Moses' body. Did you know that? Did you know that? There was some dispute over Moses' body. Jude 9, interesting here. A dispute came about with Michael the archangel and Satan. Crazy, right? And you've probably been wondering all your life about this, and I'm going to give you some answers to this, okay? So here we go, Jude 9. "But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now, interesting, isn't it? Any of you ever read that? Yeah, a couple of you. A couple of you read your Bibles. I'm so grateful for that. What do we know about that? Would you like me to share with you what we know about it? Would you? Yes. Nothing. I don't know anything else about it. And we can't add anything to that, because that's all it says. That's one of those things I really hope when I walk into heaven, it's just going to, oh, know what he's talking about there. Understand that now. At any rate. So there's Moses, right? There's Moses. Now, this other guy, Moses was the lawgiver, right? The lawgiver. Don't forget that about him. Elijah, interesting fella. 2 Kings 2 and 11, it says, "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to where?" Where? How did he go up? In a whirlwind. Crazy, right? So did Elijah die? No, he didn't die. So we see something kind of unique here in these two people. Now, Elijah didn't die and he went to heaven anyway. Now, we know that there are two ways that we're going to go to heaven for us that are believers. We're either going to die and we're going to be standing in the presence of the Lord, or we're going to be here when the rapture comes and the Lord's going to catch us up into the air. And here's the ways that that will happen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Amen. Amen. So those of us that believe are going to go one of two ways. So we've got a couple of guys here that have some uniqueness about their life that maybe that's why they were there. Who knows? So you wonder why they were talking about, right? You ask the question, what were they talking about, preacher? Well, verse 30 and 31 says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about what? His departure. Where was he going? Jesus was going to heaven, exactly. Which he was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. So they were talking about something. They had some specific things they were doing. So it's interesting to me, as I read this, they were discussing this departure by the means of the cross. And I know that that's what it was because that's how he departed. So they know that this departure is by the means of the cross. And I wonder if Moses was saying, you know, Jesus, you're about to fulfill all the things that God had established in the covenant that he had, you know, with the law and the sacrifice. You're going to bring that all about. You're going to fulfill all those things. And Elijah, was he talking about, Lord, you're going to bring about all those things that were prophesied for hundreds of years. Now everyone will know what it was that was spoken of you. Possibly, right? Possibly. Well, there was somebody else had something to say, Mr. Peter, right? Peter's always got something to say. Verse 33, and as the men were leaving, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. What does it say at that very last little part? He did not know what he was saying. You know, there's two kinds of people in the world, friends, two kinds of people. Those that have something to say, and those that have to say something. Okay? You know people like that? There's people that have got some things to say, but there's some folks that don't have nothing to say, but they feel like they got to say something anyway. Right? I know a lot of people like that, and my family would probably say that I fall in the second category. I had my son-in-law the other day told me, he said, you sure talk a lot. And I told him, you're exactly right. I have a lot to say. I have a lot of things to share with you. And there's a lot more I need to share with him now. So. Peter was one of those guys, though. He just had to say something, didn't he? Yeah. Wonder what he was thinking. Well, I know what he was thinking. He weren't thinking at all. It came out of his mouth before it ever processed in his head, right? It didn't even get a chance to get up here and work through something before it came out. I know that we've done that sometimes before. You know, nervousness will cause people to just blabber, right? Won't it? Any of you blabberers in here? Okay, thank you for the honesty. If you remember just a few weeks before this event here took place, Peter was told, Jesus told Peter that I got to suffer and I got to die at the hands of the teachers of the law. Remember that? Remember that little story? And you wonder if Peter thought that, now look, if we build some houses up here, if we put some cabins up here, we put some little place up here, maybe, Lord, you won't have to go through that process that you're talking about. Maybe we could set up a ministry up here. Maybe we could set some work up here. We can get people to come here, and now you can be the Messiah like I think you should be the Messiah. Not what you're saying you should be, but maybe what I should think you should be. Possibly. Because we know that Peter, they didn't understand what it was that he was saying. So right after Peter speaks this super wise statement, we see the Lord speak. Verse 34 and 35. While he was speaking, now listen to this. This is so interesting. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Now, it's interesting when I read that. While he was speaking, it's almost like the Father comes up and says, Peter, you've said enough. Why don't you just be quiet for a little while? Let me do the talking now. You need to do more listening and less talking. And that's what happens. This is where he comes in here. And in Matthew's gospel, this cloud is described as a cloud of light. A cloud of light. And I believe this probably could be the same cloud that followed the Israelites through the desert that set upon above the tabernacle. And it was where Moses met with God. And we see the glory of God that was there with him. And we know that called the Shekinah glory that was there about with him always. And as God the Father spoke to those men there on that day, listen to me, friends, he's speaking to you and I this morning. he spoke to Peter, James, and John, and the thing that he told them, just as clear and concise as it can be, listen to my son. And he's saying that to us at this very moment, listen to my son. We hear his words over and over, but it seems we have a difficult time obeying them. We honor the words of God when things seem to be going our way, don't we? But just as soon as some difficulty comes along, just some hardship, something that we just don't understand, we have a hard time hearing. We need one of those pocket talkers then. We have what Kim says that I have often, it's selective hearing. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Any of you men have selective hearing? We hear what we want to hear. We hear what we want to hear. Kim and I were talking about our parents the other day and some things that they do when they go to the doctor. Kim's dad has a lot of fluid on his feet and his legs. And Kim's real concerned about it, and she tries to get him to go see a heart doctor because that's usually a sign of congestive heart failure, some problems like that. And so he tells her, yeah, I've already been. He says, I'm fine. Really? Did you see your feet and your doctor's telling you you're fine? And I understand that because I used to take my father to the doctor. I used to take him and I would take him in there and we sit and listen to the heart doctor and he'd tell us all these things and we'd get out and get in the car and daddy would look at me and he said, I'm doing good, didn't he? I said, no, daddy. That's not what he said at all. You know, we hear what we want to hear, don't we? We hear, we grab one little piece of it and that's all that we cling to. God, listen, God's working in our lives and we only seem to hear the things that we want to hear from Him. God's word in our lives is oftentimes difficult. It's many times harsh. It's not exactly what we want to hear. There was a young woman that went to our last church and she was going through a very difficult time and her and her husband was separated and they were going through a divorce, had a lot of other problems in the family, and I'd asked her to speak at the Baptist Women's Sunday and she said something, I'll never forget it. She said that, and this is a woman that I know that God was really dealing with. She said that God is more interested in making me holy than making me happy. And He is, friends. It's not always about how you feel, but it is what it is that He wants you to become. And you'll only know that. You'll only come to that realization when you begin to listen to the Son. When you begin to listen to the Son. Now, Luke ends his account by saying that the voice spoke, the scene suddenly faded, and the world returned back to normal. This was just happened for just a little while. Verse 36 there, it says, and when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Now, there have been times in my life that I've been in church services, and I know that you have to be also, even in preaching, where I have felt like I was standing in the presence of God. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, did you just feel the Holy Spirit just like a blanket wrap you and hold you? And you've sat at the edge of your seats in some worship time or some preaching or somewhere, and you just felt like, I just never want to leave this place. I want to hear this. I could sit here for days, and I never want to leave. You ever been there? I have been many times in my life. I've experienced that many times in my life and not wanting to go anywhere. But the reality of it is that Jesus wants you and I to live in this world. It's great on the mountaintop, isn't it? But He wants us to live in the world, and the world lives in the valley where stuff happens, where things are going on. There will be a day, though, beloved, that we'll be on the mountaintop forever. Amen? And there'll be a day that'll take place, and I look forward to it. I want to share a part of that, what Luke leaves out, I guess, in this narrative. And it's got some more detail about this particular topic in Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. Listen as I read this. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Now get that. I want you to just grasp that, because they didn't understand this, okay? And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Well, Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. Now, that's where we have to put our thinking caps on and try to understand some things. We can get hung up on some little Bible study, group Bible study, and spend a night on these passages of Scripture right here. But here again, we see Jesus telling his disciples not to share what they had just seen. Now, let me just tell you this. When Matt and Kai told me they were having a baby, you can best believe that I'm going to tell somebody. That's the greatest news I have heard this year. They told me that I'm going to be a grandpa. And Kim's going to be the best looking grandma I ever was. You got to tell stuff like this. Can you imagine those guys walking down there saying, I cannot wait to tell them other guys. Can you imagine what we just saw? And the Lord must love me so much more than the rest, because he let us see it. And I tell you that because we're going to see next week where these guys are asking who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Okay? So they got to be excited about it. And can you imagine the bubble that's just been popped when he says, don't say nothing about what you saw. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Why would he do that? Why would he? Because they didn't understand. They didn't understand anything about the resurrection. They didn't understand about Elijah. They saw something great, but honestly, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it completely. It was better for them to see it and keep it to themselves rather than not understand it and then confuse everybody else around them. Sometimes it's just better to keep things to yourself a little while. Sometimes when you hear something, you don't need to say something. Sometimes when you hear something, you need to think about it a little while. You know what I'm saying? I see people all the time. They'll take a passage of Scripture. They'll read it. Let me tell you what it says. Really? Why don't you chew on it just a little bit? Why don't you pray about it a little bit? Why don't you meditate on that passage just a little while and see what God's going to tell you it says? We're quick to speak too often. I read this quote once that said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Some people are not even listening to you. They just want you to shut up so they can say something, right? And have you ever talked with somebody too, and you've told them all this stuff, and you've explained something, they've asked you a question, and they still have the same blank look on their face as they did when you began? They didn't hear anything you said. Jesus knew that these men had a little understanding about these things. He knew that they'd go out, babble this stuff, and they would just bring about a lot of confusion. And we see their confusion when they ask the question, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Good question. Very good question. And the reason they asked it, because they knew what the prophecy said. In Malachi 5, verses 3 and verse 5, it says this, very clear about it. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. In verse 5, it goes on to say, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah. Oh. Before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Now, this was the prophecy that every Jew knew. They knew this. They knew that before the Messiah were to come, that Elijah was to come back and bring about a state of worship like it was to be, well, like it had always been and was supposed to be. And so they understood this, and they didn't understand what it was to take place. In Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus refers to Elijah's coming as that of John the Baptist. Now John was not Elijah reincarnated. That's not what's being said here. But he came and preached with the spirit of Elijah. He came and, I don't want to confuse you with that, because you say, well, it says this, preacher. The Bible says that the Lord opens his wings and receives us under his and holds us near to him. It's not saying that God has wings. It's giving us an understanding about how he gathers us in, how he holds us near to him. So some of these things that we read sometimes, we have to understand what it is he's talking about. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Elijah literally. But we see this, and I'll give you the scripture so you understand it. Matthew 17, verses 11 and 13. I got a lot of scripture to read today, and I just pray you're keeping up with me. Because I know when I get home, Kim says, you had too much and you talked too fast. But I want you to listen and come back and look at these later. Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about who? John the Baptist. We know in our Christmas story before that when Zechariah went into the temple and the angel Gabriel was to tell him he was going to have a son, he was to name him John. Remember that? In Luke chapter 1, 17. And he would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, we can see the words of the prophecy of Malachi being displayed right here in Luke's gospel. The Jews were expecting Elijah to come and restore the nation to a place of worship. But the reason they didn't recognize John the Baptist as Elijah is because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He was not what they had hoped. He was not what they wanted. But he was exactly what God knew was needed. And that's what we received in Christ. Now, Jesus was saying that this has all been fulfilled. Now we see the reality of life as it is still moving along apart from the mountain. Back to Luke, verse 37 and 41. It says, the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. And a man in the crowd called out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. Just hang on to that. He is my only child. I want you to sympathize with this father. He is my only boy. He's all I got. He's all I got. Feel his anguish. Feel his heart. And I ask you, beloved, when you read God's word like this, take your time with it. Don't buzz through it and say, I've read five chapters today. You look at what he's trying to say, and if you'll take your time, you'll listen. Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. He's scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. Now, these disciples had a difficult situation. Not only were there expectations for them to heal, but also there was a bunch of unbelievers around too. Now you have to imagine, there's people there that wanting some help. There was probably other folks there that were mocking them all at the same time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And if any of you have ever, I'd say debated in an apologetic way about the scriptures in the Bible, you'll see that there will people but you come along and they will mock you and they'll make fun of you and tell you that you're ignorant because you believe such superstitious things as this. Understand what they were dealing with. So we see that these disciples couldn't cast out the demon. Now, they'd done it before, hadn't they? You remember? Jesus sent them out some time ago, about a year before this. He'd sent the 12 out, and they did this very thing. They healed the sick, they mended the lame, and they cast out demons. They did all of these things. Why couldn't they do it then? What was different now than it was then? Was it because Jesus wasn't with them? Well, he wasn't with them when he went out. It was the same situation. So what was different? It had to have been that they were drawing from a source of power other than Christ. Listen to me. Sometimes when we get looking at ourselves and seeing that we can do something pretty good, we begin to think that it's from us that we're doing it. That I'm the one that's such a great preacher. That I'm the one that's the great healer. That I'm the one that can cast out the demons. It's me. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, there is nothing that we can do without God. God can do all things, and you and I can do nothing. And I think sometimes, too, that people rely on some little ritual, some little word, some little... And I see this with other churches. They sprinkle something, and they'll say some incantation, and they'll kiss a robe, and they expect a demon to respond to that. There's nothing there that man can do to cause this to happen. God is the only one that can cast out demons. God is the only one that can heal, and God is the only one that can resurrect. It's not a ritual or a prayer or a creed. It's the power of God. Don't forget that. Our faith must be focused on God and not some man-made rite. Our faith must be fresh and alive every day. It's got to be evident in our everyday lives in order for the world to be affected by it. The world will not change if we are not changed people. I want to skip back to Mark's gospel again. Let's go back there for a little more detail. Verses, chapter 9, verse 20 and 27. So they brought him. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, the Spirit, the demon in the boy, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Now, are you still with me with this daddy, with his only child, with his only son, seeing what's happening day after day in his life? If you can. I think a lot of times people look at that and Jesus being sarcastic. I don't believe that. He's letting him understand what he just asked. If you can. If you can. Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Bless this man." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Thank you, Lord. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out, and the boy looked as so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Let me just say something about that last little part, because it's just beautiful. Listen, he's not the only one that Jesus has lifted up. He's not the only one that, you remember Jairus' daughter? Remember him? He said, "Little girl, get up." You remember the boy that was coming through the funeral with in the coffin, and he goes to him and he says, "Get up." And now he's here, he's telling this boy here to get up. And I'm telling you, friends, Jesus is the only one that can cause you to get up from the situation that you're in. He is the only hope. He's the one that lifts you up in these moments of despair. I love the honesty of this guy, though, don't you? "If you can help me, please do so." Jesus makes it clear there's nothing impossible for God. Do you believe that, friends? But the important thing for this man to do was to have faith in God. It was important for him to have faith in God, and it's important that you and I have faith in God also. I mean, do we really have that type of faith? Believe, or are we just hoping? Do we just hope that God will do this in our life? Or do you have faith knowing that He can and He will? This man was honest with Jesus. He believes, but he has doubts. Any of you ever had doubts? This man is honest about his weakness. He listen, what he does, he casts himself on the Lord's mercy, asking him to help increase his struggling faith. I prayed this many times in my life. God, help me with my struggling faith. Such faith, small, but it doesn't take much, does it, for God to move mountains in your life. Like a grain of mustard seed focused on the power and the person of God, this is faith enough to do all things. Focused on God, not you, not on something, not some circumstance, but on God and God alone. The moment the father confessed his faith and his doubts, that's all that was needed. And God was ready and willing to act, and Jesus spoke the word and the boy was healed. Done. And this was no doubt a powerful demon. It's interesting here in Mark 9, 28 and 29, it says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, This kind can come only out by prayer." Interesting, isn't it? Now we've got to understand something here, not be confused. Jesus is not referring to some particular type of prayer, some recited prayer. He's not talking about some ritual that has to be performed. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus is talking about a lifestyle of prayer. And the thing that Jesus knew about them that you and I may not understand is that they may not have even prayed before they stood before that boy to cast the demon out. And I thought about that this morning when I was getting ready for this message. I got in my office and I read through this message and I said, God, I just hope you do well with it. And then I started to turn a page and do something else. And I said, Lord, if I'm depending on me this morning, this message is going to be a flop. And I got on my knees and I prayed, God, let the people hear from you today. Because there is nothing that this old country boy can say that's going to make a difference in anybody's life. Only if they hear and they listen to you will anybody be affected by this word today. And I'm telling you, friends, that we have got to realize that God and God alone is the one that brings about the miracles and fixes the brokenness and restores families in our lives. Prayer for Jesus was like breathing. And prayer for you and I should be like breathing. It should be something we're in a constant state of prayer. You've heard me say it many times. I'm praying constantly. I've been down to tie my shoes. I'm praying that I won't pass out. I'm praying all the time. This lesson today shows Jesus in his glory as he'll be in heaven, but it should show his glory as it should be here on earth. It should show the same thing. The love and compassion that's expressed in a life that relies on the power of Christ in our lives should be seen by everybody. A life of prayer and a life of faith. And when that prayer life and faithful living is seen in the people around us, they can be healed. Their brokenness can be corrected just by your life, by what it is that you represent. They can be set free if we're honest and confess our sins. Jesus says that that's all that's needed. Real faith, even if it's just a small amount. I believe that the Lord's transfiguration is the very thing that should be seen by everybody around us. This story should be seen by everybody that's around us. This world should see with amazement, just like Peter, James, and John were amazed. When you and I walk into the world and we live and we work and we go to school and all the places that people should look and be amazed by the changed and transformed life that we now have. But do they? We should be transformed. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're transformed, friends, it should be obvious to everybody that's around us. I've sat at my desk this week, and I've had a difficult time trying to conclude the message. Just so you understand a little bit about me, the meat of the Scripture, God really helps me with as I come about the message, but I have a hard time sometimes closing, and I've had a difficult time with this week. So what does all this mean when I look at it? Does Jesus reveal himself to us just as he did to the apostles? Does he? Well, he does. He does through his word. He does through the Holy Spirit. And if it's yes, then exactly what is it that we've seen? What have you and I witnessed? Are we so much like Peter that we see what we want to see? Do we hear the words from the preacher and just hear what it is that we want to hear? Do we think that Jesus is all that we want him to be? Or is it that we're really not listening to what he's really saying? See, there are tragedies that happen in our lives. There's divorces, there are rebellious children we have, there's sicknesses, and there's death. When we encounter these things, are we listening? Are we listening? Or do we only see these events in life as an attack on me? Is this all about me? Why would God allow these things to happen in my life? Does God not love me? Why am I being punished by God? Doesn't he know that I'm a Christian? Really? Is this what you're hearing? I know that that we have doubts in our lives. But beloved, don't let the doubt stem from the fact that everything in the universe hasn't evolved around you and lined up just the way you think that it should. That's not where your doubt should come. I guess what I want to say is to stop for a moment. Think about what it is that you see. Think about what it is that you hear. Think about what it is that you read in the Word. Consider what the Lord is really saying to you. Over and over, He's showing us that what a transformed life should look like. Over and over, He's telling us that to follow Him, that we have to surrender ourselves to His will. Over and over, He's showing us that this is not all that there is, and so why do we live and walk through life as if there's nothing more? He's showing us that this is just a temporary existence. He's saying that we must live here with an expectation of a greater life. I know you read books and stuff that says your greater life is right now, and that's neat, you know, but that's not what the Bible teaches in this. The greater life that you have right now has nothing to do with prosperity or the kind of car or house you live in. The greater life you have right now is because you live a transformed life and you've seen the glory of God and He now exists in you. Amen? Jesus showed His closest disciples who He really was by taking them to the top of that mountain. He let them see Him in all His glory, but they weren't to live on the mountaintop. They were to live in the world. They were to come down in the world and show the world what it looks like to be transformed. And there are hurting and broken people all about us. There are people with doubts all around us. Friends, you and I have the answers. We have the answers. But we're to live here among these people in order to share the answers with them. Do people see you? Or do people see Jesus in your life? Do they see Jesus when they look at you? And they should. They should. The Father told the disciples to listen to His Son. The preacher tells his congregation, listen to the Son. When you and I share this good news with others, we too are speaking on behalf of the Father. We are speaking on behalf of the Son. Do people listen to you, friends? This is my closing. Do people listen to you? Maybe they don't. Is it because your actions speak louder than your words? Think about it. Father God, I pray that You will use this word today to engage our hearts in such a way that we respond to it, that people around us will see what it means to be transformed, that people around us will know what Your glory looks like. Well, people around us will see that we, even though we live in this world, they can obviously see that our citizenship is somewhere else. I pray, God, that as we come down from the mountain and go into the valley, that we bring You with us in every encounter that we have. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.